You got banana chips for Christmas.
Banana chips. They're platanuchas. They're a Puerto Rican favorite.
I wish we had recorded that, but that's so wrong. We would definitely get in trouble for that.
Welcome to our X-rated podcast.
Wait. Yeah. Welcome to Tequila
Cast.
Tequila Cast?
The Tequila Cast.
Yeah. So, tequila, which is our subject today, is one of my favorites when it comes to spirits. And not because it gives you that happy, fun, warm, tingly, delicious feeling when you drink it, because of a lot of other reasons, too, which we're going to talk about.
Because it also gives other people that warm, tingly, fun, exciting feeling.
Mainly because it makes you want to take your pants off.
Again.
What?
Over and over again with the pants.
Multiple pants removal.
System. Tequila. Buy some today. Contact us for your... All right, no more pants removal.
But yeah, tequila. Oh, it's so delicious and wonderful. And, you know, there's a misconception, which we were kind of discussing before we started recording. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, tequila, no. I don't drink that. Not anymore. Not since the incident.
Since
which probably happened in college multiple times with a lot of throwing up and, you know, whatnot. But, yeah. You know, usually the result of, well, a lot of the stuff you probably drank in college wasn't that expensive.
Poor quality. Just straight crap.
Yeah, poor quality alcohol, which a lot of tequila is, unfortunately. But some of the good tequilas, which we have with us today, are delicious. And I recommend sipping on them slowly, maybe with a piece of chocolate.
Or chocotel.
Chocolate. Maybe some Mexican hot chocolate.
Ooh, Mexican hot chocolate with a little bit of cinnamon sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I like that. That's like that one beer from a... Darn it. Copper Kettle Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one with the Mexican stout. Yeah, the Mexican chocolate stout.
Cinnamon, two peppers.
Absolutely delicious beer.
Chocolate.
But yeah, like I was saying, there's that misconception. So go get yourself a nice bottle of tequila or go to a tequila bar, talk to the bartender and ask for some suggestions. You know, say you're new to tequila or you want to get into it. Go for the ones or ask for some that you'd like to sip on. Get some nice, some of the common flavors you'll find and things are like orange, vanilla, caramel, chocolate.
Cinnamon, spices, cement, peppers. Like cement. Cracked black pepper. Yeah, that's apparently one of the descriptors, kind of that like pepperiness.
Yeah, definitely. And we do have a black peppery one right in front of me, which is one of my favorites for the price. It's a really great bottle of Añejo, which is one of the aged tequilas, and we'll get into that, what that means in a minute. But the Tres Generaciones Añejo, delicious tequila. Can you pass me that glass? I want to drink some.
Pass the glass.
I want to put it in my mouth.
The tequila or the glass?
I'm not sure I can fit the glass in my mouth.
Sure, we should start off by telling you.
That's like this copper, this hammered copper thing they have on top here. Kind of cool.
What do you have there? Is that the Añejo?
Yeah, this is the Añejo. And Añejo in tequila land means it was aged at least 1 year in a barrel after it was distilled, but not more than 3 years.
3 years. And Tres Generaciones refers to three generations.
Three generations of tequila.
And tequila makers. It is a premium. I've actually drank this quite a while. So when I was living in El Paso, Texas, this was kind of one of my like nicer go-to ones.
It's definitely made it to my go-to list. It's one of the ones I buy on the regular.
Let's talk about a little bit of the... So if you're ever looking at tequila, you want to look for the 100% blue agave. Or in this case, as this one says... 100% puro de agave.
100% de agave.
Puro de, which is pure agave. And what that means is that you've got the pure agave plant in there as the sugars, whereas a mixto, which is anything that's is not labeled with 100% pure agave, and sometimes labeled mixto or whatever else, it is, mixto is basically sugars that are not the agave plant added in up to 49%. Still has to be 51%, otherwise it turns into something else. What that is exactly, I don't know, but it's not tequila. So 100% pure agave is what you want to look for. It's cleaner. It's a little bit nicer. You're not getting like caramel food coloring, and you're not getting a bunch of random sugars or just a neutral grain spirit. It's smoother. It has body, flavor, character. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you're drinking tequila or mezcal and you're not getting body, flavor, and character, well, then perhaps you should reevaluate what you're drinking there.
Yeah, stray away from tequilas. Well, we won't want to name names, but something that rhymes with Jose Cuervo is a nice example.
That's a good one. That's a good example. I don't know what that is, but...
Yeah, they tend to color it and add stuff, and it's a bit weird.
I one time heard somebody say that Jose Cuervo was the number one purchaser of caramel food coloring. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but it's a thing I heard once.
Now we're starting to sound like Fox News. And, I don't know if that's true, but I heard it.
I heard it. Or we sound like a bunch of 8-year-old girls in the locker room. I don't know if it was true, but I heard Becky say it. And Becky heard it from Jessica, and we all know who Jessica has been dating, so...
That's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one's got a little spice on the back end of it, and like we were talking about, black pepper is what I get all over it.
So smooth.
It's smooth, incredibly smooth.
Yeah. So the great thing about tequila, if you all like food, spicy food, you know, anytime you're tasting and pairing, you should always think about the location of where the spirit, liquor, beer, wine, whatever comes from, and think about the food there. Spicy food, fresh ingredients. So think of like a nice buttery garlic fish. And then you get a little bit of the spicy kind of peppery tequila, kind of get this nice little contrast going on. Or think of spicing food, you know, some delicious guacamole. You were saying those massive guacamoles from where were you?
Sayulita.
Sayulita.
Yeah, I just got back from Sayulita, Mexico, which is about 45 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta. And it's a great little surf town, great place to drink some tequila. I think in Puerto Vallarta, too, since it's in Jalisco, the state of, and then it's in the Nayarit, Principal or whatever they, I can't remember what they call it, like sub-state.
Which Jalisco brings us to our next point.
Yeah, but in Puerto Vallarta, you can do a lot of tequila tastings there. They have a lot of distilleries, from what I know. I haven't done any of them because I tend not to go to the, it's a very touristy, you know, like your... A lot of American tourists, a lot of like resorts, and it's a port town, so a lot of cruise ships, and just that's just not my thing.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I'm more of a fan of the Sayulita life, where it's a tiny little beach town, good surf break, amazing fish tacos.
12 peso beers.
Yeah, 12 peso beers and tequila. So, yeah, you were saying it's Jalisco.
Yeah, so this, by the way, this has got some like a green component. I don't know if it's a chocolate, green but it's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's a little bit...
Like
a bit into a bell pepper itself.
Yep. Or yeah, bell pepper. Okay.
Definitely green peppercorns, but there's this little, God, it's so smooth. Mm. We're literally just sipping on this, these puppies neat and they're tasty. So when we're talking tequila can only be produced in a number of 5 Mexican states of Jalisco.
And this is the Mexican official law.
Yeah. Where the town of Tequila actually lies. So that's one of them. And then there's you say it better than I do. The one with the N.
Nayarit.
Okay, Nayarit. I don't know how to say that.
I think that's how it's pronounced.
Guanajuato, Michoacan, and Tamaulipas, which are the other 4.
And those are like the, I don't know what it's about, southern Mexico, southwestern Mexico.
Yeah, and the idea is there's a couple different laws and regulations as to how it's produced, but it's like champagne can only be produced in Champagne, France. So correct, in the same sense that tequila can only be produced in these tequila states of Jalisco.
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 There's a Jalisco sour, yeah?
That sounds about right, sure.
I don't know what that is, though.
Probably delicious. There's a Trinidad sour, but that's something else. Because if you guys didn't know, Angostura's is Trinidad bitters.
Side note.
So the other thing is there is a difference between mezcal and tequila. And mezcal is definitely, just talking about flavor profile, basically just mezcal, the difference is the way that they're roasted. Mezcal is roasted, my understanding is, underground for 3 days to 3 weeks. And it's basically covered and it's like slow cooked. And so all that smoke is trapped in there. So your mezcals are going to be smoky and they're going to be like woody and they're going to be a little bit more grainy. And they're going to have a little of these kind of different spicier notes. And it's any age of the agave plant. Whereas the agave plant for tequila has to be a certain age and done in a certain way. So if you're looking at tequila and mezcal, mezcal is delicious, but you're going to get smokier quality. So think of like whiskey versus bourbon almost.
Yeah, real smoky, almost like someone lit a fire in your mouth, sometimes with the spice and the smoke. But I like the whole process of tequila is really cool. It's just, it's neat how it's done. It feels very rustic to me. These giant ovens, I think stone ovens, and then like the giant wheel. What was that called again?
The tahona and the horno. Horno is the oven, so think like hornitos. Mm-hmm. And then the tahona, which is the wheel, the big crushing which stone.
Pulverizes basically the roasted agave, correct?
Yeah. And it basically just, I guess the way I imagine it, and it's much more modern, but it's like a donkey basically spinning the wheel around,
pushing it around,
smashing all the delicious juices. Basically, it's roasted and shredded, or shredded and then roasted, and then put in these ovens and baked. And so the actual plant, the agave plant, which is interesting, which we found out, is actually not a cactus, but closer related to the lily plant, which there are several hundred different varieties of lily, and it's a part of the succulent plant.
All interesting facts.
Also, Tres Generaciones is delicious. Now that's an interesting fact.
That is an interesting fact,
and it is just a fact. But the heart, so essentially, it comes out, and it's that spiny part. They chop that off with a tool, and it looks like a shovel.
Gives you the heebie-jeebies.
A little excited there.
Yeah.
The shovel essentially looks like a flat shovel with a sharp bottom to it. And they sit there and they like shave off. They like punch, shave off these, what are they called? The spine looking parts of it. And then the center of it, which is kind of like the root base to it, like the meat, they call it the heart. That's called the piña, because after it's shaved off, it looks like a pineapple.
Mm.
Sort of.
It does. If you look, one of my absolute hands down favorite reposadas, and their añejo is really good too, but I'm more familiar with the reposada is Fortaleza.
Oh, yeah,
and
Fortaleza,
they're, oh god, that tequila is amazing. Caramel, orange, vanilla, all over the place. That their cork is the piña, which the like the heart of the agave, and it's very recognizable because it looks like, you know, it looks like a wooden pineapple carved out, and you can see it on the shelf. It's very easy to recognize.
Yeah, it's very cool. So essentially, the what was it? The liquid of the agave plant was called something. Mm. Agua miel.
Yeah,
agua miel. Which, if you think about it, agua miel, water, honey water. The sugars. It's the focus and the emphasis of sugars. We're talking a different culture, and essentially is recognized that the sugar base, as in any distilled spirit, is the most important part. And so the agave just had more of that sugar, so that it produced a better quality spirit. And what was the distillation process? What's the difference of the 1 versus 17 million distillations?
Oh, yeah. So the initial distillation, tequila is distilled at least twice. Hang on, let me see here. Let me look at my notes.
We have notes, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we have notes
about tequila. If you don't have notes about
tequila. I got some notes somewhere about the tequila. I was writing them down on a napkin.
I one time drank a tequila shot and...
No, so, yeah, so after, you know, pulverized and or baked and pulverized, the extracted agave juice is basically fermented once, and then that's called your ordinario. And second time through is... you're left with kind of your silver or plata tequila, which is your clear tequila. And from that point, that particular type of tequila is bottled more or less immediately. And that's, you know, I hate to mention this, but Patron silver or something silver. I took my Patron silver and I put a habanero pepper in it. And I've been infusing it for 2 years.
2 years.
It's going to light you up. But no, great for a spicy marg.
And, you know, just making a generally spicy drink,
mm-hmm.
which has got to be a blast. So, hey, if you want to have some fun, peppers infused in tequila, absolutely brilliant. Try some bell peppers. Try some ghost peppers.
Ooh.
Try some...
careful with the ghost peppers.
What is that one? There's like a spider pepper.
I don't want to talk about it. It sounds scary.
It is scary.
I don't like spiders.
We cooked it in chili once. It was delicious. I can't remember what it's called, though.
Sounds good.
My anaconda don't... Anyway,
Yeah, well, getting back to distillation. So there's a little bit of debate between... second distillation is kind of the minimum or the where you're supposed to be at. Some people disagree that a third distillation takes too much flavor out of the initial tequila, but some producers do, in fact, do that.
Which is kind of the same thing. If you guys ever taste vodka, this is probably one of the better representations of distillation processes. Mm-hmm. Some of them only do a couple times. I think one of my favorites, Woody Creek, distills only a little bit, and it's all potato, so you can taste this kind of dirty, again, rustic, kind of earthy potato base to it. And then there's others out there that distill it like 20-something times, and I forget who's doing a whole bunch. I think Absolute does quite a few, but I still like theirs. Theirs are pretty good. But you can actually taste the difference. And so if you think about it, the more distillations means you're taking more impurities out, but you're also taking more flavor out. So it's a valid argument.
Yeah, fair enough. And that's, well, we can get into a moonshine at another episode.
yeah, we can actually. I've got some friends that are, you know, utilizing their...
Wait one second. We're going to pour another taster in a second, but I got to finish this.
Utilizing their homebrew systems and turning in bad beer, bad malts into distilled spirits, which does not produce much of anything.
It's funny because doing like more than a sip of tequila, you know, a bigger
gulp
or even the shot, which I don't really prefer at all. I don't like shooting tequila. I really like sipping on it. But I remember being at the bar when I was younger with a friend of mine, and we did a shot of tequila, and he looks at me, he goes, "Yeah, your heart's racing now, isn't it?" And we were just laughing, like, "My God, it's good." But, there is this argument that tequila, and even though it is alcohol being a depressant, but is tequila a stimulant? And there's kind of a little bit debate that, I mean, scientifically it is a depressant, but some people just quote say, well, tequila drinkers are usually loud and obnoxious and out of control. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah. A little fiery kind of a little fire in your belly.
Yeah.
But it does. It gives you that chill. So it's like it awakens everything.
It does. It kind of, you know, feels like it just shoots through your blood and you're like, whoa.
Did you say dishoots through your blood?
No, I said shoots.
Oh, okay.
Tres generaciones. I feel like I'm drinking from the old country.
I'm drinking the old country. All of it. I'm drinking the old country.
Speaking of old country, we can talk about a brief history of tequila, that it was the Aztec peoples had been distilling their own spirit, basically, before the Spaniards arrived in Mexico. But it wasn't necessarily tequila. And then it kind of, when the Spanish got there, they basically ran out of their brandy. So they needed to make alcohol, and they started using the agave plant to make tequila, what's kind of now known as tequila.
Out of necessity.
And this is a long time ago too, man. Tequila has been around for a bit. I mean, they're dating back to the 1600s.
That was the Spaniards? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, more or less recognized. I mean, like I said, previous, the Aztec peoples were making their own fermented beverage from agave, but...
Which is interesting, because then you would think it's more Spanish origin, but people think Mexico, of course.
Well, it is, and the reason being, even though it may have been influenced by the Spaniards, the ingredients were Mexican in origin, that agave.
The plant of the agaves, which is funny, because... One of the reasons that Plymouth Rock, Christopher Columbus settled, was because he was running out of stores of alcohol. And so basically he stopped. Damn Spaniards. All they want to do is drink. I love the Spaniards. If you're Spanish, hit me up.
No doubt.
Let's drink.
I am part Spanish, so I'll hit you up and we'll drink.
I'm part Puerto Rican. Let's just drink. I'm part lick. Alcoholic.
So, around 1600, Don Pedro Sanchez de Tanghal?
That's your great-grandfather, right,
Pedro? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Don Pedro Mills?
Don Pedro Mills.
Sanchez?
Yeah. But, 1600 was kind of the first person mass-producing tequila in a factory in the territory of modern-day Jalisco.
Which is funny, because what if you had started anywhere else? Then it wouldn't have... been regulated to Jalisco. Jalisco.
And I don't know, like, you know, where the blue agave, where if that's found in more places in Mexico, I don't really know how that spans.
There is. There's a couple other places in Mexico.
Holy shit balls. That smells awesome.
What is that? I poured it. I didn't smell it.
Okay, so next up on the list, we have Demetrio Añejo tequila, 100% de agave. Claro.
Yeah, claro.
So my roommate picked this up. He's also a huge tequila fan. We used to sit at a great restaurant in North Carolina eating Baja fish tacos, a 32-ounce, what they called Baja beer. It was like, you know, you get your Mexican beers in the big 32-ounce bottle, split one of those, and then a couple of shots of nice añejo to sip on with our fish tacos. And oh man, we're just in heaven.
I love the cold, but I feel like going to the beach and drinking and eating fish tacos.
Oh, this one's got a nice nose on it.
Yeah.
A lot sweeter, caramel.
It was softer, that was for sure.
Vanilla. Maybe some orange.
Agave, it looks like agave grows pretty much throughout, but it's designated, you know, regulatory designations.
Fuck yeah.
That was the tequila, ladies and gentlemen. That wasn't me.
Yeah, this is good. This Dimitrio Añejo, I like that. Sorry to interrupt, but I just got really excited. Hey, you know what? When it's good,
that's okay. I'm going to stop talking and put this in my mouth.
Some nice smoke in there, too.
Oh, it's a little bit spicier.
I think it's
but it's smooth.
Not the black pepper spicy, because that was so distinct.
No, it's right up front in the mouth and tip of the tongue and the side. And it gets you on the top of the mouth, but it goes down pretty smooth.
It's a nice sweetness to it, too, like caramel or vanilla. Oh, man. I've never tried this one before. This is great.
Thanks, Joe. We dedicate this sip to you.
Today's not here to drink it with us.
Oh, no. Sorry, Joe. Don't hate us. God, he can get this out here, though, right?
Yeah. This is probably something you can pick up locally. And that's, you know, we could talk about that a little bit. There are so many good tequilas out there, and they're hard to get.
There's a couple. There's a couple tough ones out there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't... Around the Denver area, I haven't seen what was it? The tequila we sampled at that event the one night, the George Clooney tequila.
Oh yeah, the
Casamigos.
Casamigos.
That tequila, I haven't been able to find it locally, but oh my gosh, very good.
I've seen
stuff.
It in a couple of places. That was smooth, and we just tried their silver.
No, it was
a Reposado.
Yeah, it was either a Repo or an Añejo.
I don't think it was too high end, but I was like, "No, this is good." And I think it was like 20 something, maybe $30.
Oh, really? It's not that expensive.
It wasn't that expensive.
That's great. Yeah, I really like that. They did an excellent job with their tequila.
And I think I remember the story behind that was that George Clooney used to have a party and had distilled tequila for his parties for his friends, and then it just became so popular that he started making it for his friends so he could sell it. There's a little bit of sweetness on this. It is. My mouth is salivating, and I can it comes back out.
It is. Where's that chocolate? So we got some chocolate. This is we got to figure out the company. I can't remember, but I'll put it in the show notes of this. These guys are making rustic traditional Mexican style chocolate, which removes a component of chocolate. I think it's the cocoa butter, and it's a bit more gritty. But man, if you like dark chocolate, it's good.
Yeah, it's got this. It does. It has this grittiness, almost like you're biting into the sugar thingy.
But they also make it with infused with, I think, peppers and cinnamon too, which is some nice chocolate. If you're a chocolate fan, I highly recommend it. It will be in the show notes.
It is
paired with this tequila.
I'm texting a girl right now. Don't tell anybody. The tequila's got to me. I'm sorry.
Wow.
So admittedly, tequila, I grew up on tequila. I wrecked my first car on tequila. Partly, don't get me wrong, I was an idiot younger.
You tried to use it for gasoline?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I was an idiot earlier in my life. But one of the ways I used to drink, I'm still an idiot, but at least I was more so back then. All right, anyway, so I used to drink it, and I was drinking, I didn't know what I was drinking, so I drank Patron, and I would take a shot and then sip on another one. And I remember playing pool at this pool hall. Called, I think it was 915 pool hall, and I would take a shot and then I'd sip on another one, and I'd go back 30 minutes later and I'd take another shot and then I'd sip on another one while I'm playing pool. And I think I went through 5 or 6 rounds easily.
You're giving me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, it was one of those times ever since then I haven't had a problem, so I feel like I got lucky. But everybody's got a story of some sort on alcohol. I don't think I've ever found the one that makes me not want to drink.
No, that's sad if you get that far, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But it happens. So one of the things we haven't explained yet, and you've heard us talk about, is the different types of tequila. So I'm going to go through those real quick. You got, we're saying, basically after the first distillation or second distillation, you're left with what you can call blanco or white tequila or plata, silver, which is just your clear alcohol. And that's more or less bottled immediately after the distillation process, and it's aged less than 2 months in either stainless or neutral oak barrel. And then the stuff that I particularly say stray from is called Hoven or Oro, the gold. unaged silver tequila. It might be flavored with caramel, oak extract, glycerin, sugar-based syrup, all crap.
Basically going to give you a hella headache.
Yeah, don't drink it. And that's what that's where people are like, oh, I don't like tequila, I had a bad experience. And I was
that's because you were drinking a jug of shite.
You're probably drinking crap tequila.
I remember one of the best tequilas that I ever bought, and when I say best, I mean absolutely the worst. I used to live in El Paso, Texas, across the border from Juarez, Mexico, and we would buy liquor across the border and bring it back. And one of the ones I bought was an unlabeled jug that looked like a little honeycomb, not like a honeycomb, like a bee's hive where it was like just rolled out the side and it's kind of, you know, triangular almost in shape but round. And it was the weirdest tequila. Like it just tasted, it tasted probably just like bad vodka. It tasted like moonshine tequila with caramel.
Yeah.
And I took one sip and I gave it to my friends and I never saw it. And all I remember was hearing, oh, we drank that the other night and we hated ourselves for the next month. And I was like, oh, that's funny. I hate you for telling me that story.
Gross.
Ugh.
So on to the next type, this is where I start. I recommend getting into your tequilas is the reposadas, which means literally translate to rested. It's aged a minimum of 2 months, but less than a year in oak barrels. And then you have your añejos, which means like aged or vintage. It's aged a minimum of 1 year, but not less but less than 3 years.
Right. And then the extra añejo.
Yeah, extra añejo has kind of come out recently. Well, 2006 recently from 1600 is a bit of recently. And that's your extra aged, ultra aged, aged minimum of 3 years in oak barrels. And, you know, your even reposadas, but your añejos and extra añejos very much start to take on qualities of bourbon.
Yeah, they take on the barrel.
Yeah, like your charred oak. There's smoky qualities. There's chocolates. There's caramel. You know, you can take some of these nicer tequilas, put them side by side with whiskey, like your nice bourbons that you like to sip on, and you'll be very surprised and delighted with the flavors that you encounter.
Well, it's interesting. If you like whiskey, it's mostly because you like the flavors that come out of it. Because of not only the mash that's produced, the mash bill is excellent and great, of course. Not going to see much of a difference in the mash bill for tequila, of course, but you're going to get qualities of how they're rested, you know, the flavors of the barrels, the effects of where they are. You know, certain producers have favorite spots in their barrel house, where they've, you know, oh, this one particular corner has gotten so much more heat, or it's not as cold, or it doesn't release as much, or whatever. And so same thing, depending upon how they're rested, you're going to taste some amazing differences, and it's just as fun.
Mm-hmm. I was just looking at my notes. I was talking about I was laughing at the way, going over ways to drink tequila, and, you know, obviously I like to sip on it, but, you know, you think back to your maybe college days where slice of lime, salt on the whatever you call that part of your hand. The little nook.
The nook, the nape of your thumb. That's not a thing. Is it? That would be. It would be like the nape of your thumb.
Yeah. Or, you know, your lady friend's neck, maybe. The girl at the bar you're hitting on, you're like, here, tilt to the side.
You had lady friends? What was that like?
But one of my favorite ways, and I think it's brilliant, is sangrita.
Sangrita.
Oh, man.
Not sangria.
Sangrita.
Sangrita.
And it is a tomato-based kind of juice, almost. Yeah. Maybe a little lime, some spice.
It's basically, yeah, like sweet tomato and acid.
Mm.
It's so good.
It's almost like having a spoonful of salsa, liquid salsa.
Yeah, like a slightly sweet, slightly salty.
Yeah. But, you know, we were at William & Graham the one night, and one of my favorite drinks they introduced me to is a combo drink called the Prize Fighter.
Which is actually from a bar called the Prize Fighter. They were a host bar. Right. So if you guys live in Denver and you haven't been to Williams & Graham, go there and tell them we sent you. They'll have no idea who you're talking about.
But the Prize Fighter is great. It was sangrita. I believe they served it with mezcal, like a nice mezcal.
Yep.
It was a can of Tecate.
I think it was Del Maguivita. I think it was the can of Tecate and the sangrita in the little what was that called? The little
porcelain or cupette. clay cup. Yeah.
Cupette or something.
It's good.
But it was good. It was definitely a cool little drink. And it was just easy to sip on all the way around.
It's nice though because you got some savory, some sweet, spice, all these different flavors. Kind of right. It's like a meal. It's like a tequila meal.
Yeah, because it was. It was like salty. It was sweet. Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't know if it was tomatoey or, oh yeah, because they used.
They made their own. They did
green,
like,
tomatillos.
They did well. They all the bartenders were making different kinds. So they mm-hmm. had like a peppery, like a bell pepper one with tomato, and then like a spicy one, one with tomatillo. It was delicious though.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So that being said, here's another thing. If you're drinking tequila and you do want salt and lime, it's good. It does taste good. I still love doing it.
Yeah, it's
Jornitos is one of my favorites, but depending on the tequila, try different fruits, different citrus, different, you know, mm-hmm. sugar, salt. One of my favorites, two of my favorites, Herradura, which I can never say correctly, has this little orange note to me. So I love it with a little, an orange slice, and that's it. And to me, it's like fire and ice going down. One of the best experiences I ever had was the chef in my hometown who gave me agavero, which is an agave-based liqueur. And he put cinnamon on the rim, and then you would bite an orange afterwards. So you shoot it with the cinnamon rim, and then you bite the orange, and it's like it was sweet itself, and it tastes like agave, but it was still a little spicy, so like 35-40% alcohol. You get the little spiciness from the cinnamon, and then the orange was literally like you'd feel warmth and heat going down your esophagus, and immediately you'd feel this really nice cold effect from the orange slice following right behind it. So it was like really cool. You could like almost feel it traveling down your esophagus.
Ooh, sounds nice.
Sounds nasty.
Mixing tequila is another interesting thing, and it gets a little tricky because tequila is so flavorful in a particular flavor, but it does mix well with citrus, juices, you know, salted rims always work well. One of my favorites is, like I was talking about, infusing tequila with hot peppers. There's a martini I really enjoy. It's actually an infused tequila with habanero, and then mango juice. A little bit of, I think they do, I make it with a little bit of ginger beer and cilantro.
Is that the one that you said was the...
It was inspired by...
a friend of yours that was like...
It's inspired by the drink at Zango in Denver. Ah, and it's yeah. called... The drink is, if you go there, it's the El Diablo Martini. It's delicious. It's got a nice... It's nice heat on it, but the sweet, like, buttery mango juice that kind of coats your tongue... and like smooths out the flavor.
Yeah.
But like I said, I like to use a little ginger beer in mine and a little cilantro just to kind of give it that earthiness.
I love cilantro, and the idea of putting that with mango must be delicious.
It's a really good drink.
That is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Ponder that.
Let's drink more.
Okay. Shall we move on to, we'll end with the mezcal and then the spicy one. Let's try that one that you brought back from Salida. Wait, what have we touched Sayulita. On so far? Sayulita?
Sayulita.
Salutations. Mm. So we've touched on
Woo.
The different. Uh-oh, he's getting foxy. I gotta go. So we talked about where it came from. We've talked about, you know, it has the difference between mixto and 100% agave. We've talked about
chocolate.
We've talked about the chocolate, and we've talked about the aging process. I guess there's not really much.
Oh, I can talk for hours about this.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
The chocolate's good.
That's interesting. I would say we should talk about our experiences. Oh, actually, when we get to mezcal, I'll give you a nice little recipe that we're adding onto the menu where I'm working right now. It's super simple. The ingredients aren't exactly all the cheapest or easy to get a hold of, but... Ooh, excuse me. I hit the table. Three ingredients, and it's solid. Do you need to shake that up? That thing's got like a rim of film.
This is... Okay, so I was in Sayulita a couple weeks ago.
She sounds nice.
Hey. And there's a restaurant there. I'll give a shout out to. It's called Aliyah's. And it's an awesome place to go. The owner's name escapes me at the moment, but he's a really friendly guy. He's an awesome guy.
Don, nice person.
Yeah. And his, a great place to grab a beer, maybe, and they do like a beer shot of tequila special with his uncle's tequila, which he sells in the restaurant. He makes his margaritas with the tequila. Great place to have a beer shot, get some guacamole, eat some chips. But this is his uncle's tequila, and you can buy it there and take it with you. It's a bit of a mystery tequila. It's very unfiltered.
Yeah, you're saying you, yeah. So this thing has got a cloudy look to it. And then as it sets, even after he picked it up and shook it, as it sets, it's got this like little black rim that looks as though there's like a little bit of, I don't know, dirt hanging out or...
Did you take a picture of this?
I did, but I need to take a picture of you.
I'm going to hold it up to the light and take a picture of it, and we'll put it on the site, but it's just...
And I'm gonna actually take a picture of you taking a picture, so...
This is just weird. And my hand's green from the light, too. This is funny.
You should see my picture.
I bet it's funny. We're doing selfies in the studio. So...
Wait, go back. Put that back up. I didn't like this one.
It just... If the pictures don't work well, this stuff looks like apple cider.
It does. It does look like apple cider. It looks like
the viscosity and color and cloudiness of apple cider.
Or what I like to refer to as one of our favorite cocktails for those people that very much like to anchor me. It's called the Matte Shot. And anybody who's into this industry... We'll probably know, also known as...
Do you mind pouring over there so I don't have to do it over here?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Deliciousness. No, looks like basically taking the mat after working all night and pouring it into a glass.
Oh!
Yeah,
it's don't gross. Ever do that.
No, I don't. Often.
You see that? All right. All right, that's good. Oh, this stuff gives me the heebie-jeebies, but it's pretty good.
It's because it scares you a little bit, doesn't it?
I already got the heebie-jeebies from the other tequila.
Cloudy, but...
Smell it.
Wow, that's
it smells like it's a almost, lot of sugar.
Yeah, caramel. It smells sweeter than the other ones.
This is what's I told you, this is the wild card, and I think it's one of the smoothest tequilas I've ever had, but I think there's something weird going on here. And I was trying to pump the guy for information.
It has mescaline.
But yeah, you're gonna trip your face off when you drink this.
Bath salts, anybody for the rim?
Know much about it. He just knew his uncle made it and gave it to him and he sold it.
I just spilled some for my homies.
This is definitely some mystery tequila. But yeah, there's a weird smell that I can't place. Maybe it's the ass end of a donkey.
Oh my god. Wow, that's I'll tell you what, if I end up getting the shites from this, it'll probably be because you brought back Mexican water.
Hey,
not a real thing.
But it's distilled.
It's distilled, it's fine. Unless they cut it with water.
I just don't know. It's so smooth that can you test alcohol? How do you figure out the proof?
So the traditional way, actually, one of the original ways was that they actually put it in this thing. They'd put it down this little canal of sorts, and they would light it on fire. And the length of time that it took to burn was the proof. So I'm sure there's still a contraption of some sorts out there.
Well, how do you measure beer when you make it?
A hydrometer.
Hydrometer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to
I think that's
test what this called. To see where the proof is at. It almost tastes like it's not very alcoholic, which is weird.
It does. Should we take a couple shots and see?
I don't know if I want to do that.
I dare you.
But yeah, this is the wild card.
That's kind of interesting because it's super smooth, but it does... It doesn't, it's not that it smells almost like, I know this is going to sound weird, but like it smells like taking a drink out of a garden hose.
Like rubbery?
Yeah, almost, but it's not really that. There's something else like sweet, almost like floral. Maybe it's just like smelling the garden.
And I'm not sure, like we have no idea how this is made. It might be a hoax. He might be just adding some caramel to it. It might be rum for all we know.
I know, right? This could probably just be...
You know, I was at the restaurant the one night, and I was talking with my girlfriend, and I was like, what... And this tastes like... I think they gave us rum instead.
Let me clarify real quick. That's Peter talking about having a drink with his girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend. Topher doesn't have a girlfriend. So, you know, feel free to email us.
But it's like that, there's a taste that rum gets me. Like, I don't particularly like rum. I like some of the nicer rums out there, but sometimes there's like, it's a sickening feeling caused by sugariness. Like, too much sugar gives you this almost sick to your stomach type.
Yeah. Like, gives you like that nausea. Yeah, like, you need nauseating. To drink a glass of water.
Yeah. So, and I almost feel like that night when we were trying this, I was like, oh my God, I feel like they give us rum and it's not tequila, but because it was so smooth and unsuspecting, it didn't have that nice spice that a lot of tequilas have. and I just can't figure it out.
This, okay, so it still has that, it does, it has that spice. So I rolled it around my mouth entirely. Okay.
You got to roll it.
Mm-hmm. I got it on the front of my teeth and up in the gums and stuff, and it does. It has that peppery spiciness, definitely. It's bitey. It sneaks in, but then it's just so smooth and it finishes. But I got to admit, it tastes like his system that he's using probably uses plastic hoses.
I think you're probably right.
Which isn't a bad thing. It's just that it's got this, it's a balance between like a sweet floral note and a little bit of that kind of plastic hosing. I'm actually going to just pour a little bit more just to be sure.
Do it.
I'm tasting correctly.
I honestly am not sure I like it.
I'm impressed at how smooth it is, honestly.
It is so smooth, but it's almost, there's a flavor, maybe it's bringing back some weird memories of me getting sick in Mexico.
Oh my God, I'm going to kill you if I get sick from this tonight.
No, and it wasn't, like, I drank it multiple times while I was there over the course of 10 days. So, no, it wasn't the tequila at all, but associative flavors and things like that.
Yeah, there's a kind of, like, minerality in there, too, which is kind of interesting. The other ones had, like, that peppery and, I guess, like, cement or whatever you want to call it, but this is...
And it dries...
Almost like a clay.
Do you notice it dries your mouth quite a bit?
Yeah, it does.
It, like, removes the moisture...
Which is funny because it's a natural plant product and tannins are a byproduct of plants and they're actually a defense system. They basically create a bitter taste in the mouth so that
we don't
eat it. We're this is horrible. So that's interesting. You're right. This basically has tannins in it. I think.
It's a very strange tequila.
But very good. I wonder what would happen if you put this in one of those Brita filters just a little bit. Probably just lose a lot.
Yeah, I never thought about doing that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, if you guys ever want to don't want a hangover, I've been told this works. I've never tried it. You basically take whatever shitty alcohol that you buy and pour it through a Brita filter a couple of times, and the charcoal filter will pull out all the bad stuff, and you'll be left with just like...
Neutral spirits, basically.
Well, basically alcohol that's less likely to hurt you than it was when you first bought it.
Oh, yeah.
But this isn't bad. It's interesting how cloudy it is. You're right. It's almost got like that... With the chocolate, too, it almost has like that... I just bit down on the pencil lead and I got that grittiness throughout my mouth.
Strange tequila. Well, if you want to try it, like I said, Sayulita, Mexico, and go to Aliyah's restaurant, which is a little bit, what direction is that? West, north, south of the square?
I don't know. East is the only one you didn't say.
I can't remember at this point. It's very close to the main square. It's a tiny town. You'll be able to find it. You just got to ask some people. So we have one more, or unless we want to do that, the other one too, the spicy one.
Maybe just a taste.
Yeah, just a taster. I'm actually not going to drink the rest of this one because it's making me feel funny.
You're feeling a little worried.
Umbralita, Sombra. So we have Sombra Mezcal.
Sombra Mezcal.
And,
So anytime you drink Mezcal, you have to talk like this because it's funny.
Because Mezcal. It's what?
Because it's funny. Because
it's funny.
Can't get the top back on. There it is.
Okay, so like we were saying, mezcal is, you know, that very smoky quality typically across the board.
And we were talking about, you know, is there agave in other places? And there is. And Oaxaca is kind of primarily where mezcal is made. There's other seven other states that have the designation, that's the denomination of origin, which is like wine. Basically, it's saying that it's guaranteed from being this area and it's produced in a certain way. And to give you a quick review, it's Guerrero, Durango, San Luis Potosi, Zacatecas, Guanajuato, also the same Guanajuato that in Jalisco where tequila is made, Tamaulipas, and Michoacan. Again, both of those last three are all similar. The same places as the state of Jalisco.
So, when you know, like we talked about how tequila in Mexico, tequila has to be made in those states. In the United States, we, as American quote-unquote liquor laws, they consider any spirit or any tequila coming from Mexico will be called tequila. It doesn't have to be made in those particular areas.
Right.
And is that where the confusion kind of came about between mezcal and tequila are literally two different things, more or less?
Yeah, now I think they're starting to specify a lot more like, oh, this is actually mezcal.
Yeah.
I think it's more the process of being made where it has to be aged or it has to be grown to a certain age and then picked, which I believe is 8 years. And then from 8 to 10 years is the process of picking, roasting, aging. And then whereas mezcal can be any age of agave plant. But
wow,
smoky, right?
It's actually, I had a little piece of chocolate before I drank it. It's actually quite nice.
Let me try that.
I don't think I have really dove into the mezcal too much. It's a weird flavor. It's smoky, but if you're not used to it, it's a pretty interesting flavor.
So for me, it's always smoky and sweet.
Smoky sweet.
Well, I mean, compared to tequila, but with your bitter chocolate, let us see.
Yeah, it's actually kind of nice. And it does have that campfire quality to it.
Yeah, and that's probably the biggest thing about mezcal is that you're going to get smoke.
Oh,
it's like the Scotch version of whiskey.
Yeah, it's got that peaty.
Well, it's not really peaty. Not it's peaty. Like a, yeah, that it's campfire, though. You're right. Like sagebrush or like wood, toasted wood.
Toasted woods. Now, you were talking about a mezcal drink, yeah?
Oh, yeah. So one of the mezcal drinks that my buddy Matt came up with, Mr. London Green, if you're out there, this is your recipe. It's basically mezcal with a little bit of green chartreuse and blood orange. And what we do is actually we stir the mezcal with the green chartreuse together, and it's about 1.5 ounces of mezcal, 1/2 ounce of green chartreuse. Okay. Stir that in a stir pot. You're still going to get a kind of sharp bitiness. You want it nice and cold, and you're going to get a good dilution on that, so it kind of mellows it out, it blends it all together. You pour that in your glass of choice. It really doesn't matter. And then you layer in, like with a spoon layer, a little bit of blood orange. And so what happens is you get this separation. The blood orange will sink to the bottom if you do it correctly. And you get a little bit of cloudiness, not too much. And you taste the chartreuse, you put a little bit of orange zest on there. Mm-hmm. You can squeeze it on there, or you can shave it. I like to use the channel cutters and use the little zest themselves. I don't know. I like the texture, and I like kind of chewing. It's weird. You chew into the zest as you're drinking it. It kind of releases oils. It's interesting.
Ooh, that's fun.
Interestingly, you taste it, give it to the guests, we do, before, where it's separated and layered, and said, try the drink how it is, and then we use a sugar cane. Take that and stir the blood orange so that it mixes in there. And the blood orange concentrate that we use of the juice, you know, kind of boil it down a little bit, get a little bit thicker. It has just the right amount of sugar and acidity that it turns this drink into a completely different drink. The acidity pops a little bit. You get a little less smoke, a little bit less floral, but then it mixes in with the blood orange and the acid just kind of melts it all together. It's such a cool drink, and it's super simple.
I want to try that.
I recommend it highly.
Can you make me one right now?
I don't know if you have green chartreuse.
Maybe. Nah.
No. Although I did just buy that dry curacao. I bet you that would taste pretty good.
Curacao.
So I recommend getting blood orange concentrate because you can use less. If you want to buy it, buy a frozen one because you can use less of it and you don't have to water it down. And so that kind of saves you space in cups, and it saves you a little bit of worrying about it if it goes bad, because basically I've experienced that the concentrated juices, lime, lemon, orange, blood orange, cranberry, whatever, for some reason they don't go bad as quickly. You can almost thaw them and keep them longer.
Hmm.
As long as you don't add water.
Yeah, that's an interesting cocktail. When I was in Mexico, I got to try. There was actually a guy down there doing, that's a ugly face.
Oh, man, I just took that little tiny sip. It was like a teaspoon of that mezcal.
Yeah, so there was a guy down there in Sayulita doing cocktails. And one of the ones I had was, I took a picture of it and I don't have it anymore. Mm. I'll find it. It was a mezcal drink and it had some chocolate bitters in it and some lime. And I think, I can't remember the exact ingredients, but it was really nice. It was cool. And after the ice melted a little bit, it really started to mellow, got some cool flavors. That mixture of the chocolate and the mezcal, I think really kind of dances nicely together.
Yeah, which is funny because you said dances, but I heard dense, and I feel like that's a pretty good descriptor. I'll bet she was a little more of a dense character altogether.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
It was like the mariachi player and his guitar. Without pants.
Oh, that's dense. All right, shall we try the sin patrons? Pants. Sin pants.
Okay, sin so pantalones. We're going to take a little dip into this Patron Silver I've had for a while that's had a habanero pepper sitting in it for several years now.
I'm literally going with just like a little sip. I'll let you pour your own because if I pour too much, you're going to yell at me.
Oh, that's sombra. I'm scared.
You should.
Can you put that back over there?
Yeah. Let me put the top on it.
Oh, God.
I like your top.
Yeah, want to freak out your guy friends? Tell them you like their top.
Obscure reference, anybody? All right. You sipped it first, silly man.
It's actually not... Oh, God, here it comes. It's not so bad. Oh, no. It's got some heat, but it's not too bad.
Wow, that tastes different, too.
It totally changed the taste of it.
Wow, it's a little tingly. Wakatal. I've drank... Wow, that doesn't taste like Patron at all. That's kind of interesting.
That doesn't taste like...
I don't even know what to call that.
Pedro's Crazy Tequila.
That sounds good. How do you say crazy in Spanish?
Loco.
So is it Tequila Loco de Pedro?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. That's we're going to call it the TLP. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. So not too bad, actually. I thought that was going to be horrible. Although in a drink, that would be still sticking around.
Yeah, it's still got some heat on it. I feel like it's... I didn't add that much. So you can get bananas and stuff a couple of jalapenos in there, habanero. I mean, get crazy. I do recommend it, though. You know, buy yourself a bottle of tequila, like just some silver. And then, you know, take a mason jar, fill it up with tequila, add some peppers to it. Let it sit for a couple of days, week.
Another great thing about the...
Margaritas with it.
Margarita with banana? That would be interesting.
You know what? I found it really works well is watermelon with the spicy tequila. Oh, that is good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's right. Nice cooling watermelon with your spicy tequila that's good stuff.
I love to do watermelon presses where we actually hand smash all the watermelon juice through a cheesecloth. And then you get like all that like basically watermelon water.
Watermelon water.
How do you say watermelon in Spanish?
Sandia.
Sandia?
Agua de sandia.
Agua de sandia. Which is funny because I lived in a border town, and you know more Spanish.
You know these things? You're half Puerto Rican or something like that.
I'm losing it. I'm out of touch, okay? Came to a state that's full of a bunch of white people.
Yeah.
And nobody speaks Spanish. Sorry. I'll get it back. But I like to do that, and I like to put it in drinks, and that sounds like a little spicy tequila would be awesome.
Mm. Well, I think that about covers it for the basic of tequila. We'll, I'm sure, revisit this at one time. So, you know, go out there, try some tequila. You don't have to shoot it. Sip on it. Oh, do you have some recommendations before we kind of sign off here? Like, what are some of your favorite sippers?
That's a tough one. So I actually have drank a couple of them. Herradura is probably still one of my favorites.
Añejo, Reposado.
You know, it doesn't matter. They're all pretty good.
Those are pretty good. I used to really enjoy those, actually.
We put them in drinks. Milagro Silver, actually all of them, are very affordable. I think the silver is something like $20-something, not that much. It goes really good in a lot of drinks because it's a little bit more mellow, and it's not overly forward in the tequila quality. Although, yes, I do have one specific one. Look up Casa...
Casa Azul?
Casas... No.
Oh, I was going to mention that
Casa
one.
Casa Noble?
Oh, yeah, Casa Noble.
That is probably one of my favorites. They have a Cristal. Their silver is excellent, super smooth. It's all single... It's all triple distilled tequila, and it's probably one of the smoothest and yet still pretty flavorful tequilas. I actually really like that one. I'm trying to remember the tequila drink we used to do that. Oh, we just came up with one. My buddy and I were talking about doing a tequila drink, and I was like, God, it would be really cool if we did something with tequila and Amaro. So he mixed equal parts of tequila and Amaro and a grenadine, our house grenadine, which is a little bit of a pomegranate base, a little sweeter, about a half ounce of that. And then smoke cinnamon, and then just put that in the glass or stir it in the drink, and it's awesome. Amaro takes on the cinnamon and gives you this little bitter note that, like, the caramel quality of tequila balances out, and then the grenadine, little cherry note stands out. Smells freaking amazing, and it's such an easy sipper. It's definitely like it's like your old-fashioned quality sipping drink.
That's cool.
It's so good, and it smells amazing.
I like that. I'm going to try that sometime. I mean, you know, what we had, the Tres Generaciones Añejo is still one of my favorites. Fortaleza Reposado is one of my favorites. And then there's, if you want to spend some money, you can go try a shot of it at a bar or something like that. It's the Clase Azul, which is the porcelain, that giant porcelain bottle.
Oh, with the bell on top.
Yeah, it's like a white porcelain bottle. It's really easy to see it. And,
that was good.
Recognize it. It's like a white porcelain bottle with blue markings.
It looks like it's painted on.
Yeah, almost like China, if you will. Yeah. And then it has a silver bell on top. And it kind of looks like a bong. It's got this weird shape it's like to it.
Pear shaped, where it's round on the bottom, and then it gets really skinny neck that goes up for a good couple inches.
But those are some of my favorites, and I definitely recommend trying those.
I'm going to call it a goose-shaped bottle.
Goose. It's kind of like a hookah.
Yeah,
it's got this very ornate quality to it.
Super cool. Yeah, that's right. I've tried some of those. If you don't like tequila, I recommend you go out there and just ask somebody to try some better ones, and I'll bet you you'd be surprised.
Don't ever say that you don't like tequila. That's just not cool.
If you don't like tequila and your friends don't like tequila, then you're no friends.
Then keep shooting it, suck that lime, put on those training wheels, as they say, lick that salt, suck that lime, and make a mean face and go, grrr.
Yeah, and just don't throw up because that's disgusting.
Ew. Yeah, just don't ever do that. Anyways, so I think that's good. We covered quite a bit. We're at some time. So y'all get out there, try some tequila.
Kayla.
It's good for you.
Drink tequila. See what happens.
Go to Mexico and do it. It's a great place to enjoy.
Absolutely. Go to Mexico. Love Mexico.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Crafted Conversations. Check out our website, craftedconversations.com, where we'll have show notes and links and photographs and videos and other things. Follow us on Twitter @CraftedCombos, and please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. We'll talk to you again soon.